On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, we identify three free agents and three trade targets for the Edmonton Oilers to take a look at to shore up that defense. Plus, could the seal of the NHL draft fall to the Edmonton Oilers' lap in the first round? We shall talk about him. Plus, how did Devin Shore do this season in kind of a complicated season for him? All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As I mentioned on today's episode, we take a look at three free agents, yes, free agents who the Edmonton Oilers can sign, who could shore up that back six, or back line, I should say, as well. Let's be real, the Edmonton Oilers really struggled defensively, so how could these three free agents, and we also identify three trade targets, who could really help the Oilers defensively? We'll take a look at that in just a second. Plus, Luca Del Bell Blues could fall to the Edmonton Oilers at number 29 in this year's draft, and he could be quite the steal for the Edmonton Oilers if the Oilers do cash in at that spot. And yes, Del Bell Blues, what a name for the Mississauga Steelhead. And as well, Devin Shore's season report card is, well, let's be real, it wasn't too fantastic. But either way, we will go over that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Locked On Oilers and making it your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, we are up on YouTube as well. Alrighty, let's start off with these defensemen as well. The Oilers weren't very strong defensively last season, and you certainly saw it in the playoffs, as that was probably the detriment of the Edmonton Oilers, especially down the stretch where, I mean, Darnell Nurse, Evan Bouchard, and Duncan Keith were far from the Edmonton Oilers' best defensemen. In fact, they were probably the worst. And the fact that half of the defensemen were really, really bad during the playoffs isn't great. You normally have one, maybe two defensemen that are struggling in the playoffs. The Oilers had three. And, I mean, again, you gotta credit Darnell Nurse, who played the entire playoffs with a torn hip flexor, which is a horrendous injury. And I mean, you can't skate on there. You can't put any power through that hip, and your hip is your central power for everything. So that is no fault really to Darnell Nurse. Really A plus effort for him. But either way, you're gonna need players who can step into the lineup and give you great minutes. And the Edmonton Oilers, if you're going to take a look at a defensive defenseman, Tyson Barrie can't be that guy for the Oilers. So, who's on the market for the Edmonton Oilers to potentially take a scoop at and bring into the team that actually makes them a little bit better? Well, three free agents I've identified and three trade targets potentially the Edmonton Oilers could take a look at. So let's start with those free agents. The first one out of those names are, and he's coming from a rival team, so I apologize to any absolute Oiler homers out there, Nikita Zadorov. Yeah, that big mean guy from Calgary. I really like Nikita Zadorov's game. I mean, let's be real. The kid just hits, and he is big and mean, and he's somebody you hate to play against, but somebody you want on your team. And Nikita Zadorov is a free agent this year. However, he did get paid, $3.75 million last year in his last contract. So a little bit too much for me for somebody that would probably be playing middle pairing line, probably minutes, I should say, probably bottom pairing minutes. But the Edmonton Oilers do also play that 11-7 capability, or they have that capability to play 11-7. So, might fit into their goals against per 60 minutes. both at 5-on-5 and in all situations is just top of the league, or some of it. 2.09 goals against per 60 minutes in all situations, and a 1.95 at 5-on-5. Really helps shore up that defense, especially in your own end. And last year, 74 games played. Could you imagine 74 goals? 74 games played, 4 goals, 18 assists for 22 points. So he does also have a little bit of that, not necessarily offensive upside, but 18 assists is pretty impressive. That's more than Zach Kassian last year. Nikita Zadorov, one of those names. The second name, another name that the Edmonton Oilers played in the playoffs, but also a guy that could bring some experience to the team, and not named Duncan Keith, obviously. That's Alexander Edler. Now, I know a lot of people are going, experience? The guy hasn't won a cup. He's had a lot of experience with the Vancouver Canucks. That early 2010s Vancouver Canucks was a powerhouse. And Alexander Edler was one of those key components, key players on those young, strong Vancouver Canucks. And he was young at that point. Now he transitions into an older player. And I mean, if you're an Oilers fan, you know just how much of an issue the LA Kings were to the Edmonton Oilers. Plus, his experience is just so good. On top of that, he has a really good goals for per 60 minutes and goals against per 60 minutes as well in all situations and at 5-on-5 as well. So not only is he going to bring you that experience, but he's still got it on the ice. In 41 games, 3 goals, 16 assists, so 19 points. Again, he brings it all in all situations, but you're not going to lean on a guy like Alexander Edler to get you points, right? But if he's going to chip in, and he has the capability to do so in all situations and at 5-on-5, I'm not going to say no, are you? Next. Now, this name, a lot of people aren't going to like, and I understand why. But what the guy does with the puck and offensively could be a very solid replacement for Tyson Barry, who will get traded. That guy is PK Subban. I know. I already hear it. I remember a couple years ago when he was still in Montreal and the trade rumors were the Edmonton Oilers, they might send Leon Draisaitl to Montreal for him. Obviously didn't happen. PK Subban, let's be real, is one of the most marketable players in the NHL. He is a great personality, and bringing that type of personality to the Edmonton Oilers is pretty exciting. But let's forget about the off of the ice stuff. Let's look at the on the ice stuff. In 77 games played, not his strongest offensive season, but the fact that this isn't a strong offensive season for PK Subban, 5 goals, 17 assists, 22 points on a New Jersey Devils team who's growing, whatever. But again, solid offensive upside for PK Subban. You just know what you're going to get out of him. He's getting older, so he's going to be cheaper, but he still is that same PK Subban. He brings the bite. He brings the feistiness. He brings a solid skating. He will hit. He will move the puck very well and basically be a Tyson Barry 2.0. And that goals for at both 5-on-5 and in all situations is some of the top of the league. 2.84 goals for per 60 minutes. That was good for about 94th amongst all defensemen who played about 500 minutes. So that's pretty impressive. Plus, as well, a 2.81 at 5-on-5. So he does have that upside, not only on the power play, which he could also play with the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, the Edmonton Oilers have Evan Bouchard, Darnell Nurse. Philip Roberg might get some time too, but PK Subban wouldn't be not necessarily an unwelcome addition to that power play. Alrighty, we will get into the trade targets in just a second, but first, I want to tell you a little bit about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. find the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs, which unfortunately are done. But I was taking a look at next year's Stanley Cup odds on BetOnline, and the Edmonton Oilers have the 10th best odds amongst all the NHL to win the Stanley Cup at plus 2,000. Now, the interesting thing too is, they have the third best odds to win for a Canadian team. Yeah, third best behind the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Calgary Flames. Yeah, get mad, oil country. Plus, as well, if you didn't know, the Hanshin Tigers are also 113 favorites to beat the Yokohama Bay Stars in the Japanese Baseball League as well. So you can take a look at literally any sport on BetOnline. Yes, I just pulled up Japanese baseball betting odds on BetOnline, so you're welcome. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and much more. And as well, BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Do you guys hear Adrian Peterson is going to be in a boxing match as well? I forget who he's facing, but another former NFL running back as well. So I'm sure BetOnline is going to have those odds as well. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Alrighty, let's move into the trade options for the Edmonton Oilers defensively, as well, some of them, two of them are from the same team. One is on the upper end of the defensive position, I guess, and one is a little bit more of a role player, and the other one, I have a feeling a lot of people aren't going to like it, but I'll explain it away. I'm sure a lot of people are going, oh, he's still stupid, whatever. But the first name for the Edmonton Oilers to potentially take a look at defensively is Matthew Dumba. Okay, now, again, Matt Dumba made $6 million or is making $6 million next year. The Edmonton Oilers currently where they're at right now with, I mean, Mike Smith hasn't retired, Duncan Keith hasn't said anything, no trades have been announced, so Tyson Barrie's contract is still on, Zach Cassian's still on, there's no, again, no cap relief yet for the Edmonton Oilers, so they're still sitting at about $7 million in cap space, so that would take up a lot of the cap if you trade for Matt Dumba, unless Minnesota retains, which is a possibility. Or, also in that trade, is a guy like a Tyson Barrie, who you basically get a salary-out, salary-in type situation. Not too bad. Or a guy like Tyson Barrie has been traded, so you get, you know, there's a lot of situations where the Edmonton Oilers could afford a guy like Matt Dumba, and there has been some talk that the Edmonton Oilers might, and this isn't the number one thing that the Edmonton Oilers need, but there has been a little bit of talk that the Edmonton Oilers might take a look at a higher-end defenseman. I mean, Jacob Chychrun, the Oilers have been in, not necessarily talks, I don't want it to sound like it's something imminent, and Kenny Holland has been on the phone, and blah, blah. But it sounds like that would be something that the Edmonton Oilers are interested in. Matt Dumba has been a player that, for some reason, Wild fans have kind of tried to push out for a couple of years. The kid has leadership. His offensive upside is bar none. In all situations, he had a 3.14 goals for per 60 minutes, which is like upper echelon through all defensemen in the league. And at 5-on-5 at goals against per 60 minutes, a 2.54, also in the upper echelon. So he's not necessarily going to be playing those minutes on the penalty kills, so his 5-on-5 goals against per 60 is very solid, and the Edmonton Oilers could use Matt Dumba on the power play, so him being a 3.14 in all situations is very welcoming for a lot of people. Last season, 57 games played, a little bit of an injury-riddled season, a little bit here and there. 7 goals, 20 assists, 27 points. Pretty solid numbers, the highest so far of any of these players that we've mentioned so far for the Edmonton Oilers to take a look at. So, again, and a guy who's been a leader, he's feisty, he's mean, and could you imagine him playing? Plus, he's from around this area, I'm pretty sure as well. If I'm not mistaken, he's from, at least from Alberta, if I'm not mistaken as well. Matthew Dumba, very solid potential addition for the Edmonton Oilers. Another Minnesota defenseman that I think the Edmonton Oilers could take a look at, and he was traded to the Minnesota Wild at the trade deadline from San Jose. This is Jacob Middleton. Now, some people may not necessarily be too familiar with the name, as he was, I don't want to say buried in a San Jose team that's just kind of meh, you know. But a very coveted guy at the trade deadline. And you understand why. He is mean. He's tough. His goals against per 60 at all in all situations is top notch. And as well at 5-on-5 is top notch. A 2.29 goals against per 60 at 5-on-5 and a 2.53 at in all situations. I mean, and plus it goes for per 60 minutes, a 2.51. So that is almost like pretty solid. He's cheap at $725,000 per year. That's how much he made, $725,000 per year last year. And in 66 games played, 4 goals, 10 assists, 14 points. A bottom end type of defenseman. He's going to be cheap, but he is very solid in basically any situation you throw him in. Going to be cheap, but he is an RFA, so that is going to maybe affect the price here or there. That's why I say he could be a trade target for the Edmonton Oilers. The final name that I think the Edmonton Oilers could take a look at for a trade target would be Toronto's Justin Hall. Yes, I know. A lot of people do not like Justin Hall. In fact, Steve Simmons straight up said to Sheldon Keefe, he said, "Why is your worst defenseman still playing in games like this in the playoffs?" And he goes, "Well, who's our worst defenseman?" "Oh, well, Justin Hall." But Sheldon Keefe, like he said, "Well, that's your opinion, isn't it, Steve?" Well, that is his opinion. And, well, a lot of people around hockey would agree with Sheldon Keefe that Justin Hall isn't necessarily the worst defenseman in the league. In fact, if you take a look at his offensive numbers, he is very solid at 5-on-5 and in all situations. As we go back to that goals for per 60 minutes stat, as goals for per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 is at a 3. And at 5-on, or in all situations, at a 3.14, which is or at the exact same pace at as Matt Dumba. Decent. Even the dog next door is saying, "Hey, how about Justin Hall? That's pretty impressive." And is only $2 million cap space right now, or cap hit, I should say, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's probably going to be a casualty of a young team, and it seems like his name has kind of been, they have young guys coming up, exciting guys coming up, and he could be one of those guys that might be kind of easy to get off the Toronto Maple Leafs hands. So those are the 6 guys that I think the Edmonton Oilers might take a look at in regards to the defense of free agents: Nikita Zadorov, Alexander Edler, and PK Subban. And trade targets: Matt Dumba, Jacob Middleton, and Justin Hall. Are any of them realistic? We shall see. We'll see if the Edmonton Oilers really even push defensively as well. I know those are also kind of more impressive names and more exciting names. I think a lot of the names that the Edmonton Oilers will actually be looking at, and if the Oilers do sign them, a lot of common hockey fans or Oilers fans will just go, "Who?" And then they'll kind of learn more about them as we go. But anyways, we shall leave the defense talk there. Let's go into the NHL draft. As that is, what, 9 days away now? 10 days away? 9 days away? As, My favorite time of the year is coming around the corner. It's basically here as well. But the Edmonton Oilers are picking in the late end of the first round for the first time in quite a long time. I mean, this is their latest pick since picking 22 Kyler Yamamoto in 2016, 2017. So, a different feel for Edmonton Oilers fans around the draft, as you're not getting that top end pick. You're not getting that first overall pick. I mean, a lot of people always knew a lot about guys like Evan Bouchard or Philip Broberg. A lot of people wanted Zegras or Boldy or Caulfield or this or that or the other thing. But when you're sitting almost in the second round, it seems like a lot of Oilers fans just don't care. So that's why I'm bringing you exciting names like this one today, and that's Luca Del Belbelouse. Yes, you heard that right. Luca Del Belbelouse. He plays for the Mississauga Steelheads, and I am telling you, this kid is exciting. Jagr Furkus is exciting for his offensive upside. Luca Del Belbelouse is exciting for almost nearly all aspects of his game, and he's really, really shown out this season in the OHL. For Luca Del Belbelouse, in 68 games played, 30 goals, 46 assists, 76 points, which was up from his six from his first season in the OHL. He had 6 points in his first season in the OHL, in his second full season, because last season was the COVID year, so the OHL didn't have any games. So this season, 76 points, an entire 70-point jump from his previous season. The kid is pesky to play against. His size is apparent. He's kind of a limbering type player, but he can play the penalty kill. He can run a power play. He's a smart shooter as well. Man, can the kid shoot. He almost has Corey Pronman of The Athletic, who does a fantastic job when it comes to prospects. He has his shot as an above NHL level right now. That's an impressive shot, and he's used that to his advantage for 30 goals in his, 17-year-old season? He was 17 years old last season, going into his 18-year-old season, going into his draft year, and his shot's only going to get better. He protects the puck well. He is so tough to get the puck off of, and he's a 200-foot player. Like, the kid has vision and is smart with the puck, but he's very smart in his own end as well. Like I said, a full 200-foot player. He goes into the dirty areas. He finds the puck, gets the puck to his teammates, and gets open for his teammates as well. He's really good in tight areas, and like I already mentioned, his vision is great, so he can really pass the puck and get the puck to his teammates when it seems like he can't. And that is very evident by his 46 assists. Yeah, 46 assists. Now, I know I've gushed over him, so I make him sound like a top 10 pick. But why is he falling down so much? Why, or not falling down, I shouldn't say, because his draft stock has risen recently. But why is he sitting in the late 20s? His skating. His skating isn't fantastic. Like I mentioned, he is kind of a longer kid, so he kind of limbers around. The good thing about his skating is that he's pretty decent on his crossovers, which actually helps with his speed a little bit. Plus, skating is something that you can work on in the NHL. Plus, I wish he had a little bit more urgency. I know he said he's pesky, but I wish he just got on his horse a little bit. That could come with the fact that he's not the best skater right now, so maybe he's not necessarily confident in taking himself out of a play in some urgent play and costing a goal the other way. And it seems like because of his foot speed, he's probably not going to stay as a center in the NHL. As his career goes on, he's probably going to grow out of that center role and kind of become a more effective winger, which isn't the worst thing for a guy like him. Again, he has that size, he goes into the corners, and he really has good vision along the walls, which, again, with those 46 assists, he can run a power play from that wall. Imagine the Edmonton Oilers having a wall guy again with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Evan Bouchard. Like, that would be a very solid offensive power play, and Luca Delbel Blues would help with that. A couple notes on Luca Delbel Blues as well. The productivity is just fantastic. He was very productive at the start of the season, but he did kind of taper off near the second half of the season, but his all-around play is what really helped his stock rise. Obviously, the points are apparent. I mean, 76 points in 68 games played, that's pretty good. I think if the Edmonton Oilers are able to, or if Luca Delbel Blues, I should say, the other way around, is available for the Oilers at 29, I think they should take a look at him and take him, because he will be a very solid middle six forward in the future in the NHL. Very solid, very solid. Especially if he can get that skating up. Oh, guys, I'm excited about the draft. We are so close to the draft. And then only a couple days later is free agency, where we get all the trades, all the moves. And as Kenny Holland said in his exit press conference, it sounds like most of the deals will start the week of the draft. And that's next week. So that's pretty exciting, Oilers fans. Get excited, because we are going to get some moves in the coming weeks. Alrighty. Let's end on today's season report card, as this is one of the last forwards we have before we move on to the defensive core, as it was Devin Shore, and Devin Shore had a season. Devin Shore isn't going to be a guy who you sign. He's going to score 15 goals and 10 goals, and he's going to be, oh man, Devin Shore, what a signing, you know? He's going to be a bottom six guy. He's going to come in and out of the lineup. Yeah. Unfortunately for Devin Shore, after Jay Woodcroft came in, it just really didn't seem to click for him anymore. He wasn't really in the lineup. Sometimes he made the lineup under Jay Woodcroft, but the Oilers just got too many younger guys that really came in and really excelled, like a Ryan McLeod. I mean, let's be real here. Derek Brassard was traded to the Oilers, and he barely played at all after he got traded here. So a guy like Devin Shore, who doesn't really bring a lot more to the ice than Derek Brassard, it just isn't going to play. But in 49 games played this season, 5 goals, 6 assists, 11 points, so not too bad for Devin Shore. I mean, he did play some time on the penalty kill as well. In all situations, though, let's take a look at the goals for, goals against per 60, because that is really how you tell an effectiveness of a player on the ice. And he wasn't effective at all, to be honest with you. It was kind of embarrassing writing down these numbers. In all situations, goals for per 60 minutes sits at a 2.16, which was good for 20th on the Edmonton Oilers. Not fantastic. and goals against per 60 was a 4.36, which sat at 28th on the team. 28th. Out of, I believe, 30 Edmonton Oilers that played this year, he sat 28th with that. Yeah, even the dog next door now is going, oh, that is embarrassing. At 5-on-5, now he's obviously not going to play on the power play, but on 5-on-5, a 2.2 goals for per 60 minutes, that was good for 20th. And then at 5-on-5 goals against, which he's not necessarily going to be on the ice a lot at 5-on-5. He might, but that penalty kill is mostly when he's going to be used. That's especially under Dave Tippett. That was one of his big things with bottom six guys, is if you can play on the penalty kill, I want you in that bottom six, which I don't necessarily know how that really worked out for him. At 5-on-5 for Devin Shore, 2.82 goals against per 60 minutes, which is better than his 4.36, but that's good for 21st in the league. Now, if you're taking a look at that 4.36 in all situations and then compare that to the 2.84 at 5-on-5, you must be wondering where that extra, 2.7 comes from? Well, it comes from the penalty kill. As I mentioned, he does play on the penalty kill. In fact, he played over 50 minutes on the penalty kill for the Edmonton Oilers. And his goals against per 60 on the penalty kill, 13.58. Yeah, I genuinely, that pained me to say. That was worst on the team on the penalty kill, 13.58, and second worst in the league. Yeah, so really ineffective on the penalty kill. Really ineffective at 5-on-5. Ineffective in all situations. Devin Shore, you got 11 points, so I'll give you a C-. It wasn't fantastic. But you weren't brought in to be Connor McDavid, so I'll give you slack on that. And plus, I will never forget that video of you pumping up Connor McDavid coming into the tunnel. That is legendary, so I'll give you an extra point for that. So I guess I'll give you a C. A big team guy is Devin Shore, and you need those glue guys to win. Anyways, we shall call it there. As you can probably tell throughout this episode, my voice still isn't fantastic, so I apologize for that. I'll try and get better next time. We can all be better for next time, so let's work on ourselves and be better next time. Anyways, I hope you have a wonderful Tuesday, as it's finally supposed to be warm. I hope. As I say that, it got cloudy yesterday as well. So thank you again for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. We will be back tomorrow with another draft profile. And this one might be a little exciting because this one is a name that a lot of people have been bringing up. And he's been bursting up in his draft stock. He's a pretty exciting name. That's Kevin Korchinski. So we will talk about him and so much more on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Oilers. But for now, I hope you have a wonderful day. Stay safe and don't do anything I wouldn't do.